Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a recording of an Ascension and Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, May 19th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Ascension and Pentecost sermons. Now, when you make your gift, please indicate whether you want a downloadable version or a CD of these sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season.
Why did you participate in the Gosnell blackout? The President of the United States could be asked about this, since he fought against protections for these children that were born alive when he was in the Illinois Senate.
The President is aware of this. The President does not and cannot take a position on an ongoing trial.
There's somebody singing the music, and nobody else is singing along. And Luther would look at that and probably just tap somebody on the shoulder and say, you know, I had the same problem with the Church of Rome.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
New Christians are often frustrated by how religion is covered in the media. We talk a lot about it here on Issues Etc., usually with respect to an individual story or a few stories that are out there where the religion angle was missed, or where religion is being miscovered or not being covered at all. Sometimes you do just step back and get a historical perspective, the long-term perspective, and ask, is this the way it's always been in the United States with the media and religion? Has anything gotten better? Has anything changed, say, in the last quarter century? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly joins us for a bit of a historical perspective on media coverage, the lessons that he has learned by being a religion columnist for Scripps Howard News Service for the last 25 years this week. We'll spend some time with him here in this hour, and then Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us to talk about God and suffering, especially in light of the tragic bombing in Boston that the nation is still having many questions about. One of them that is perennially asked, what is God up to? Or is he up to anything in the midst of all of this suffering? Terry Mattingly is a regular guest. He's director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He has, for the last 25 years this week, written the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be the historical figure here today.
You're going to give us the historical perspective. You got to reach a certain age before someone lets you do that, and I suppose that's you qualify. So
I kind of thought that's where you were going. Yeah.
Well, in the last 25 years, let's just talk sweeping changes. What has changed, if anything, about religion reporting in the last quarter century?
Well, I mean, that is so long. 25 years is so long that, to some degree, we're still back in the age in which the top 20 to 30 American big city newspapers were still, as the old saying goes, they were printing money. I mean, there was some decline in readership, but profitability was still real high. So back in those days, we were talking about whether or not these newspapers that have beat reporters for so many different subjects, we were talking about why they should add religion. And to some degree, we were going into kind of a golden age to where we even had a major network. ABC Evening News had a religion correspondent, and National Public Radio picked up an excellent religion correspondent, say about 10 years, you know, into my tenure at Scripps Howard. So to some degree, the argument used to be, why aren't more newspapers using their resources in a good way on this beat? Well, now we've gone so far into the internet age to where so many newspapers are in decline in terms of the number of their staffs, that we're now, it's more like we're talking about strategies for how you get religion done well when you don't have the option, in some cases, of hiring a full-time professional, who someone with a lot of experience or even training, and, you know, to get them onto the beat and to kind of solve it like a normal journalism problem. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. What has – just give us your perspective there. It, really, you're right. 25 years ago, we're talking about print journalism and television,
right.
But television being much smaller in terms of the content. There was – is it safe to say there was no 24-hour news cycle like we have it today 25 years ago?
Well, there were – we were at the beginning of the cable television network. I mean, that was the big reality. We're not that far away from the birth of MSNBC, and, of course, CNN is already with us, et cetera. But you're right. In terms of kind of like this print, video, audio, podcasting, this whole kind of fusion, we're not there. That shows up. The Internet really begins to hit national consciousness in 93, 94, 95. I believe it was 1994 that for a sustained year, use of the Internet was increasing at a rate of about 85% a month. So, I mean, I'm already into my seventh or eighth year on the column, you know, when that's happening. The other change I would make, and the big one I really want to underline, is the Internet works fantastic for opinion and feedback, and the big temptation right now is to view religion as a subject that is driven by opinions, not actual information and reporting. That's the big trend. We talk about it at Get Religion all the time, and that's a very depressing thing for me to say, because essentially what it says is that in the world of religion, there's no right, there's no wrong, there's no facts, there's no history, there's no doctrine. Religion is what you feel. And what I'm saying is that's a journalistic statement, not just a doctrinal statement, but it has implications for how you cover, say, Orthodox Judaism or traditional Catholicism or traditional forms of Protestantism, that you say that essentially doctrine doesn't matter because there aren't any facts. Religion is just what you feel. And the other thing is that in the Internet age, of course, opinion is so much cheaper than real live reporting and information.
Why were National Public Radio, you mentioned one of the major television news outlets, why were they adding religion correspondents 25 years ago?
Because there were key figures who began to get it. I think the best example of that would be Peter Jennings. I remember meeting Peter Jennings at a meeting in New York in 1993, where there was a big rollout of some presentation of information by the Freedom Forum Foundation about why religion is valid news. And I was invited to the meeting because it was the 10th anniversary of my cover story for Quill magazine, making an argument that religion should be covered just like any other major subject in the world of news culture and newsroom culture. To make a long story short, Peter Jennings got it. He couldn't understand why these fascinating stories weren't getting covered. And Peter Jennings also understood that the press was nervous about this topic. I think that was the first time I ever heard Jennings use an anecdote that he used a number of times after that, that if you watch a great, horrible disaster and you watch the live TV coverage, you know, the reporters with their microphones run up to the survivors and say, you know, this was a terrible tornado. What got you through this horrible event? And people start telling their stories, and they finally said, well, I started praying, and I felt a sense of calm, and I don't know why I was spared, but I'm very thankful to God, and that's my faith is ultimately what got me through this. And then Jennings said there's this long pause, and then the reporter all but says, no, what really got you through this? And Jennings said that gap between the average American's answer out there in flyover country and the kind of, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I wanted to know what was really happening in this story from the reporter. He said that gap is the gap between far too many major newsrooms and the American people. And that was Peter Jennings saying that, and that's in a column. It's at, you know, at tmat.net on my website. That's a big theme, and he's saying the public cares more about religion news and religious issues and ultimate questions than the people who run American newspapers. And that, of course, is what I've been saying my whole career.
Is there anybody like Jennings now that who has that kind of influence, who has that kind of position in the varied media, who, in your estimation, seems to still get it?
No. I mean, there are people who get it. I mean, there are people who do excellent work, and let's not forget that. There are fabulous reporters slaving away on the beat that, you know, because they work in places like Pittsburgh and Southern California and whatever, people may not be as exposed to their work as if they were at a national, a national venue. But I think part of the problem is now there are so many other options, and among those various internet options, and even say something as influential as the On Faith site at the Washington Post, so many of them have chosen to take on religion essentially as if it was op-ed and editorial and opinion writing. And in the midst of all that, we have that subject that, you know, Get Religion has been screaming about for about a year. You have the newly retired, by a matter of just a couple of days, editor of the New York Times speaking in Austin and throwing up a clip that in effect says, our paper tries to be balanced and accurate and use the American model of the press when it comes to politics, but we are openly tolerant and progressive and urban and liberal on moral and social and cultural issues, you know, as if abortion and homosexuality and eugenics and stuff like that hasn't played a fairly important role in American politics in the last 20 years, right?
So
journalism itself is debating essentially whether it's possible to even do traditional journalism about religion. And that's the subject of a post I just put up at Get Religion today, even after, you know, the 25th anniversary column I did last week for Scripps. That's the subject that's flowing around our discussions right now of the abortion trial in Philadelphia.
Well, let's take up that subject on the other side of the break. We will get to the subject of media coverage of some pretty obvious religion angles, or lack of coverage of some pretty obvious religion angles in the abortion trial in Philadelphia. But first, why is it impossible to cover religion rightly as mere opinion? We'll get Terry's answer to that right after this.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois, issuesetc.org.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 17th of April. And we're talking with Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service, getting some of historical perspective after a quarter of a century writing the On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org as well. Terry, why is it impossible? You mentioned before the break that religion is often covered as a mere matter of public opinion, kind of man on the street. What do you feel? What do you think? Why is it impossible to cover religion rightly that way?
Well, I think part of it is because it's linked to moral and social issues on which our newsrooms are so, and have been demonstrated to be, so overwhelmingly progressive in their views on basically anything that's related to social and cultural issues. I mean, the famous line from Maureen Dowd at the height of the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky scandal, when Maureen Dowd said that conservatives were trying to repeal Woodstock. I mean, I think to some degree we need to understand how our newsrooms today are still dominated by kind of a baby boomer and post-baby boomer sexual revolution moral libertarianism. It's not pure liberalism. It's more like moral libertarianism is the established religion of far too many newsrooms. I tell people all the time that they say, oh, it's because there's nobody in newsrooms but Democrats. And that's crazy. I know all kinds of Republicans in newsrooms, except they're all basically libertarians. They're all conservative on Iraq and Iran and the budget deficit and blah, 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 blah. But when you get them to moral and cultural issues, once again, they're more libertarian. And that then affects how you view coverage of subjects such as abortion and gay marriage and moral standards in public schools and other subjects then start coming up that have religious overtones.
Okay, you mentioned it a moment ago, the Gosnell trial, of this abortionist who is accused of mass murder, not only of the infants that survived his attempts at abortion, but also of at least one lady, and we should say at least the seven that he's accused of. Does explain the math to us, how that moral libertarianism across political lines in the newsroom led to an almost complete silence from newspapers, television, you name it, on that trial?
Well, I mean, this is, of course, has dominated life at Get Religion for the last week, with much of the writing being done by Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, and she's done an astonishing job of helping literally steer the national conversation on this issue and contributing to it. I'm going to put myself at this point and simply say that I don't know definitively why the press simply didn't want to cover that story. Although I can say that government corruption meets race, meets abortion, meets poverty, boy, that's a pretty gang-packed story. And you're either going to go all in or you're going to bail out. I'm still at this point going to default. My post that just went up at Get Religion includes a link to an amazing article at The Atlantic in which a reporter there has 14 theories for why this story wasn't getting covered. And I'm still stewing on this and don't want to try to make any definitive comment. I do know this. This was a national-level story in at least 10 different angles. The fact that it didn't get covered, I don't care what you think about abortion, what your beliefs are there. There were plenty of other reasons to cover this trial, and I hope this conversation continues among American journalists for weeks to come.
More generally, then, what about the American religious landscape in your looking back on 25 years of writing to it and about it? What has changed most in the landscape?
Well, boy, there's a subject for a long discussion. I think to some degree, the biggest change could be summed up by the pollster John Green at the University of Akron. we still have about 20% of the American population that strives to practice some traditional form of a religious tradition. That 18, 20, 22 percentile figure shows up pretty strongly. What has changed is that on the other end, whereas unbelief or active anger about belief used to be like, say, 3, 4, 5% of the American population, there's evidence that that coalition, when combined with true religious liberalism, we now have about a 20 to 22 percentile coalition on the religious left, the religious and the anti-religious left, which now actively mirrors the religious believers on the other end. And in that Nunn's report, the N-O-N-E-S report we've talked about so much from the Pew Forum, it made the interesting observation that this coalition of religious liberals and unbelievers, or people that some sociologists in New York once described as the anti-evangelical voters, people whose primary religious identity is their opposition to evangelicalism, that crowd is now the largest identifiable religion-linked group in the modern Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party is going to have to try to deal with that, just as the Republican Party, which is kind of country club libertarian in its elite structures, has to deal with the reality of the religious conservatism over on the right side. So in the middle, between those two 20% on the doctrinal left and the 20% on the doctrinal right, is the lovely United States of America, which I have often referred to as Oprah America. And that's just kind of the world of feelings and emotions and, you know, this is what I'm thinking today, and self-help books, and Oprah, you know, reality TV religion.
I don't want to quote you, but are you saying that perhaps one of the bigger influences in the last 25 years on the general religious landscape in America has been Oprah Winfrey?
Well, I think Oprah Winfrey is a symbolic figure for this world of kind of semi-theistic, feelings-based, morally unjudgmental, mushy, semi-Christianity. And what's the term? Moral therapeutic deism? That Christians, the sociologist Christian Smith and others have come up with this term, you know, that this is the religion of many young people in America today, which is essentially is God loves me, I'm supposed to love everybody else, and I'm supposed to feel very good about myself, no matter what. You know, that's the religion of America, that's the religion of the middle of that spectrum. Well, I don't see any reason not to think that's true.
Well, if that's true, I got to ask kind of a question, devil's advocate question. If that's true and the average reporter looks out and sees that, they see it accurately,
yep.
Can you blame them for saying, why cover that?
Oh, except it's selling millions of books. There's all kinds of movies about it. And ultimate questions remain ultimate questions. People still care about babies being born and living and dying and trying to find meaning in life. I mean, if you walk into the typical bookstore, and you see religion all over the place, often more than you see in the religion section, that's still fascinating and interesting. And meanwhile, you're sitting in a world in which religion is year after year linked to 5, 6, 7 of the biggest stories that happen. I mean, you know, the great historian Martin Marty, about a year after 9/11, made the interesting observation that after 9/11, instead of asking what is a religion story, the average American newspaper editor now has to ask a much more intimidating question, and that is, in the world we live in today, what isn't a religion story? Think about that one for a second.
Now, you tell a story, or you kind of opine on a story near the end of your latest column, where you, and I'll just quote you, you say, one of the biggest mysteries for me is why professionals who lead newsrooms rarely seek out experienced, even trained religion reporters, their ideal candidate being, quote, not an expert, or not necessarily yes. religious, or an expert in religion. Why do you bring that up, and what does that say?
Well, because ultimately, I am so naive that I think that journalists should apply journalistic solutions to this problem, that you hire skilled professionals who have shown talent on the beat. You give them a desk, you give them a computer, and you give them inches of space in the newspaper or the wire service or the website, and that you solve your religion reporting problem the exact same way you would solve the problem of how do you cover the Supreme Court, how do you cover the National Football League, how do you cover Wall Street. Why don't people cover religion just like any other complex, important subject in our world? That's the question I've been asking since I was a graduate student at the University of Illinois. That's the question I've asked for 25 years. That's the question we ask every day at Get Religion. I don't have an answer yet, but I'm sure as heck fire going to keep trying to find one.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about lessons he's learned after 25 years as a religion columnist, nationally syndicated. When we come back, his top three improvements that could be made to lead to better religion reporting. Now, speaking of journalism, Mark Hemingway, senior writer at the Weekly Standard, has written the Wittenberg Trail feature of the latest Issues Etc. journal. He talks about his journey from Jack Mormonism to Reformation theology, answering the question, why Lutheranism? His answer is, why not? I've also written an article there about your confession of faith. It's called I Believe. When you say you believe something, do you really stand by it or do you have your fingers crossed? You can subscribe to the latest Issues Etc. journal at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the big red button, click and enter your email address, and you're subscribed absolutely free to the Issues Etc. journal. We'll be right back.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Mark Lutheran, Edmond, Oklahoma. Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire. University Lutheran Chapel, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Holy Cross Lutheran, O'Fallon, Missouri. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Christ Lutheran, Rochester, Minnesota. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. St. Peter's Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Grace Lutheran, Wellsville, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Terry Mattingly is our guest for the next few minutes, talking about the lessons that he has learned as a nationally syndicated religion columnist for Scripps Howard News Service. He writes the weekly On Religion column. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org and director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. Terry, some final thoughts here. Your suggestions, three improvements, if you could come up with three, that would lead to better religion reporting in the future.
Well, I mean, all the studies indicate that, first of all, you hire someone who is on the beat and they have shown professionally that they could do the work elsewhere. Second, you let them work for one editor and you don't make them have to keep training editor after editor after editor in religion speak. It really helps if you find an editor who kind of shares an interest in this topic and is willing to learn the vocabulary. Those are the two key things in the typical newsroom. I would say that if you can't hire that full-time person to fill the beat, and in our struggling economy, that's a distinct possibility, that to some degree you have to find out who the talent is in the room that already is interested in the subject. I think the CNN blog, the faith blog at CNN, which I have some criticisms of it from time to time, but still, the approach that went into creating it was a good one. CNN hired one professional to work this blog full-time, and then it found out all the other professionals in the world of CNN who were already to some degree interested in religion and kind of created like a network of people who were looking for the religion angle to stories already, and then let them work together with one person serving as kind of an air traffic controller, you know, running the website. That, to me, was a wonderful way of doing the best you could in a difficult economic situation. At least try. At least have a plan. Go down to the Poynter Center in Florida and sit down with some experts. Do some strategy for how to improve what you do on this beat. Treat it like journalism. I guarantee you the work will improve.
In the last 25 years, what major religion story or major story with a big religion angle in it do you think was as well covered as American journalism can cover a story?
Wow.
I mean, just last 25 years, they got it right that time. They don't get it right every time, but they got it right that time.
Okay, well, I will tell you, and whole books have been written about this. The American media, for about 2 weeks after 9/11, did an amazingly good job of getting a lot of information out there about some of the things linked to the 9/11 attack. And the work was so much better than I expected it to be. And then they turned right around and we invaded Iraq. And to this day, we still don't have media telling us much about the currents of religion and society in Iraq. You and I have discussed in the past that I'm still waiting for someone to write a story that simply explains to the American people why the Shia and the Sunni Muslims are killing each other. Wouldn't you think that's a pretty important fact to understand about, you know, life in that region? Or to look at America, we hear all the time about the power of the religious right, and the religious right says this, and the religious right says that. How often do you read about the decline of the world of liberal mainline Protestantism, which is just as big a change in American life, you know, in the last 25, 30 years, and the religious right would have never have had the clout and impact on society that it had if the religious left hadn't declined so much in power. Those are examples of stories that we get part of it, we miss the other half. We get this part, we miss the other. We don't take religion seriously for the long haul. The motto of Get Religion is that if you want to understand how real things happen to real people in the real world, you have to take religion seriously. And I still believe that today, and I still want to see more newsrooms do it.
Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service, has for the last 25 years, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.